pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. I'm your host, Ken Seymour, here with your other host, Richard Geiger.
It was me all along.
That's right. Yeah, this is a very spooky episode dealing with all sorts of witchy goodness.
Just in time for the holiday.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've been waiting for this series for a while. There are certain things that Marvel, I feel, has done very well with, and WandaVision was one of them. And seeing them continue along the path with Agatha Harkness as a character, especially as portrayed by Catherine Hahn, who is just phenomenal. I was on board immediately.
Well, I wonder if that series, right? So that series was kind of the one series that was the first of the series, right? Mm. That kind of kicked off the Disney Plus series brigade of extending the Marvel universe a little bit. And she crushed it, of course. Not a main character. A main character, but not. You know what I'm saying? And she did really well. And I wonder if the plan all along was to have this series and more, as our speculation will kind of go into a little bit deeper, or she did such a good job and had such a positive response from the audience that they're like, yeah, we need to do something to continue with this character. So I wonder what the answer is.
I'm pretty sure it's the second one. From what I've gleaned and heard, just people responded so well to her performance and she had so much fun. It's like, yeah, let's do it.
Very good.
And I like the fact that it's the comic book character. Whenever you see Agatha, she's kind of the traditional old crone kind of a portrayal of a witch, and having a more, you know, normal looking person be the character, I think it's kind of nice.
In kind of referencing that, in the comics, how old is she?
Hundreds of years old.
And I think that's what they portrayed here, right? Mm-hmm. Hundreds?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's one of those things. She's been around the block for a while. It's one of those things that she was always kind of a secondary character in most comics, and you just didn't know a whole lot about her. And that was on purpose, and then they just slowly did some reveals and then expanded some stuff. It's all good fun. But so in general, you know, before we get into the nitty-gritty, and this obviously isn't a movie review, so we're not going to go into points, especially since we're only halfway through the series.
Mm-hmm.
Just before we start going into spoiler territory and our just wild imaginations running around, what have you thought about the series in general so far?
So in terms of the expectation that I had going into it, I'd had these episodes just kind of sitting on the table, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew we were going to discuss it, so I also then knew, well, I gotta watch them. And it's not like I was never going to watch it, but I didn't have the anticipation that you did in watching this. Not that I didn't want to. It's just like I was neutral on it. And after watching the first episode, to me, I was hooked. Like, it was good. Like, I burned through the four. I watched them just all one right after the other, and it's very good, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it so far. They did a great job casting some more people in it. They brought some people back from the original series, like David Payton is one of the neighbors. That was rather amusing. He had some fun stuff in the first couple episodes.
Absolutely.
And also bringing back I'm having one of those Emma Caulfield. Sorry, I was just having one of those moments where my brain wasn't getting into it. Now, Emma's one of my favorite actresses, period, anyway. She was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer as Anya, the demon, the next demon.
Yeah.
She's great. She's so much fun in anything that she does. So having seen her for just a moment was just nice. And then just getting Deborah Jo Rupp to come back for what we had her for. It's so good.
Yes. Yeah. It's when she walked down the street to go back to her.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes, please. Absolutely.
She makes everything better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, going into, I guess I should say what my initial thought of is like, I've been really enjoying it too. It's like, I'm ready. Give me the next one. Give me the next one. Don't want to wait. But yeah, I'm, cause it's not a traditional kind of television show.
It's not. And the thing that I like about it is the WandaVision premise for the first handful of episodes, right? Was we're going through eras, we're going through decades of television.
Right.
Right? So they gave us a view of her interpretation of the world that she set up and the show that she was portraying herself as in that show. Like the stereotypical 60s show.
Right.
Like so much so that it was annoyingly stereotypical.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point.
Right.
And they carried that trend over in this one, only for one episode, right?
Right.
And then you got an introduction, and then it was like, let's get the MacGuffin of sorts. But that lays out the literal path for them to continue on or create a trek with this group of people,
mm-hmm.
right? So that kind of goes through the second episode. And because it's about the trials or whatever.
Right.
And then some of the episodes of the actual witchcraft, and we were discussing this before, are cheesy, like stereotypical as what we think for maybe even a child's book of witches, right? So like songs, coven, a cauldron with the brew, rhymes, all fit together and not out of place at all.
No, just beautiful.
Just very good. Very good.
Yeah. And the thing that I really love, it's not exactly a subversion, but it's a conversion. So as you're talking about, we start with that first episode where they continue the trend of the previous show where we get the gritty crime drama portrayal, which is just, it was so dead on.
It was. And the when you watch the first 5 minutes of it, right, you're just like, she's not great at this. It's like, it's a uber caricature of what this person is.
Right.
And, but then it dawns on you. I'm like, actually, this is perfect. This is good. Right? And the creators who have put in all those silly little details, right? Even the thing where they're at a place and the dog starts barking, right? It's just like all those things that you see in those types of drama that are, you expect them, they conglomerated and put it all in there. And it just,
yep. And it shows their love of, again, the craft, as it were, in making shows. But then to take that, which was, you know, for the first over half of the previous show, that was the thing, moving from decade to decade to whatever. So that's not what happens here, but it still follows a similar pattern in the sense that when our new thing, we're deviating from shows, and now we're going into life set pieces, weirdness set pieces. So they go with, okay, let's work backwards. Let's start with the real world, and now we're going to, let's address each of these little things that, you know, people think about with witches, but also put it into kind of either an era or a very, very specific situation, and that's where they can still have that fun of a themed episode.
And the other characters playing their characters. But with that hint of like, hey, wake up. You know, like mm-hmm. that's not what they're saying.
Right.
But it's got all the sentences are leading to that proposition of like, snap out of it.
Right.
And it's very subtle, and then it grows and grows. Of course, it grows even more. It hits a certain point where it's just, it's more blatant. But that's, once again, that's how that whole thing was created and put together so well, in my opinion.
Right. And so we get these powerhouses. We already had Catherine Hahn, which if you're not familiar with her, I don't know how, because she's been in TV for a while, and she always does well. I mean, she's just kind of phenomenal and everything. I really loved her in Glass Onion more recently. She kind of had some fun with that particular movie. But she's been in a ton of movies and television shows. And just what was probably your favorite Hahn appearance?
Step Brothers.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But the thing about it is, in so many of these shows, and you're, as we talk, we're looking through some pages of her stuff, right? But the scroll wheel doesn't move the pages so much in terms of a time frame, right? Because she's got so many individual credits on things.
Yep.
That she really just makes, I don't know, she makes her appearance count in all these things.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good way of putting it. Oh, that she was an Anchorman. I forgot about that. Oh man. So anyway, so you know, you already put somebody that's a really great anchor at the head of the table on this one, and then you bring in so many other pieces of talent like Sasheer Zamata, which when I saw her, it's like, no, they brought in an SNL person to play one of these pieces, because she is funny. She is so funny. And I hadn't had a chance seeing her in a lot of other stuff. But apparently she does a voice for Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, so it's not her first Marvel project.
Mm. I like when she is like the change. The snap that she has going from in character to being herself.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. Very sharp.
Yeah. I the setting her up as the kind of the con man a bit was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's great in this because again, she's kind of great in most things. And then you get Ali Ahn as well. She's been in quite a number of things as well. The first thing I think about her is because I watched the Supernatural show multiple times, and she doesn't have a large part in that. She's only in like three episodes, but the three episodes she's in, she's really memorable, playing Dagon. But she's been in a bunch of other stuff too. I mean, she's also been very busy.
Orange is the New Black.
Three episodes. Like The Path was one of her big shows. She was in most of that. But what was the? I'm having a mental moment because she did something really big that I remember seeing her in. That was one of the first things to kind of turn me on to her. Maybe it was White Collar. Maybe it was just her turn in White Collar that made me think of it. But she's been in a bunch of stuff.
Lots of TV things.
Yeah. So fun. Another person with some good experience. Bringing in Patti LuPone. Are you familiar with Patti LuPone?
I'm familiar with the face for sure.
Witness.
I mean, I know I've seen that movie, but it's also an old movie too. Well, old's a relative term, but when it's like 30 years old, yeah, that's old.
Yeah, but she has also been keeping herself very busy in a lot of stuff. She was in Penny Dreadful for a good chunk.
I watched most of that. I don't know.
10 episodes, man.
Jeez. Well, she was in the last season, which I didn't get to watch.
That would be why. But yeah, she's been all over the place. Again, a lot of TV, some movies here and there. I don't know her quite as well, but again, I recognize it's like, okay, I've seen you a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know Joe Locke, who plays the kind of the teen on the show, but there's something about him that I just kind of like. He's got a good presence.
He who shall not be named.
Something like that. So he's only been in these two things listed thus far on IMDb. So he's a newbie. But I like the pick. And then we've got, of course, Aubrey Plaza.
It was very good. Very good in, once again, everything she's in. Tends to play a
crazy person,
similar-ish type of character. Not the same, but similar.
No. But that every time I see her, it's like, okay, yes, I love her. Can we invite her to be my friend forever and ever? It's just kind of, she seems like the type of person that would just be super fun to hang around if you like those kind of oddball personalities.
Oddball personality, but strong oddball.
Right.
Right?
Right. Every interview I see with her just makes me like her more and more every single time. But and she does a great job in this. Oh, and her run as the Yellow King in Legion. Ooh, she was good in that.
I've not seen Legion.
Oh, okay. That may be a series of episodes we may have to do, because that show isn't just good. It's phenomenal. It is way weird, but awesome.
Strong character, that one.
Yes. So we've got this great cast. We've got this fun set of fun set of characters they've created. These aren't exactly, for the most part, long tried and tested comic characters except for Harkness. A lot of this is based off of Scarlet Witch comic series that I only have about half of, and I have not read because I have way too much to catch up on. But
so we don't know. I wouldn't know, but you don't know if some of these characters. We just looked up Rio Vidal, which appears to be
nothing.
Something we will discuss, and this Rio Vidal happens to not be an existing character, so maybe that's the whole point. But some of these other ones who are in here, like Jennifer Kale, like is that a person who was in three comic episodes 30 years ago?
Yes. Jennifer Kale is a well-known character. As soon as I saw how the character was portrayed, though, I don't see how it's the same character. I don't know if you recognize that little thing there. It's just the picture I brought up. But I'm going to go with that you don't recognize that particular... my brain, like I said, it's just
her uni.
Yeah.
Her superhero outfit supervillain. Yeah. I don't know what she is.
Jennifer Kale's a hero. So it's just, so that one, they seem to be going a slightly different direction.
What is the Jennifer Kale character?
Well, she's kind of like Agatha is. She's got magic. Magic's her thing. So maybe not to the same level that an Agatha Harkness has, but she's been around for a while. So
An Atlantean sorceress.
Right. So who knows if that's the direction they're gonna go with this, but she's been not like a primary character that's been in a bunch of stuff, but she's been kind of, that secondary or tertiary character you want to throw in when you want to add some flavor to a story.
When you need some extra magic characters.
Right. and she's a lot of fun. So, like I said, I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go with this variation of the character. That's the only name I recognize. All the other ones, to my knowledge, are just new characters. Now, that being said, Joe Locke is definitely not playing teen. There is a 0% chance that Joe Locke is playing teen. I feel like that most people that saw the original WandaVision would already have a sneaking suspicion who this is. And anybody that's a comic book fan that has read anything in the last 10 to 15 years, I guess even 20 now. Wow, I'm getting old. Would just, as soon as I saw him, I was like, yeah, I know who that is. He was clearly cast and put in a very specific visual that if he is not this character, they want you to think is as a fanboy that he is this character. And I'm fairly certain he is Wiccan, which is one of the children of the Scarlet Witch. And that's the whole reason that in the first four episodes, you can't figure out who he is because she protected him, or someone did. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that the Scarlet Witch is the one that put the spell on him.
Now, as you see in some of the episodes, it's almost like they're blatantly pushing that this is Agatha Harkness's child.
Right.
Right. It's like they're making it too obvious that it is. Would you?
At least until the fourth episode.
Yeah, they're like, so they're really pushing this on, like, that's the son. Like, so obviously it's not.
No. Now, Agatha's son is an important character in the comics, at least in a couple of storylines. And I think we have seen him already. I think we've seen him on the previous WandaVision, and I think we've seen him in this show. If my memory serves me, and I could be wrong, because, again, old. But I'm fairly certain that she transmogrified him at one point to kind of hide him. And I think he's the rabbit. I'm pretty sure he's the rabbit.
She was pretty, of all the things, once she woke up, right? Or we think she woke up, because that's the appearance that we're given.
That's what it looks like.
Right? Is that of all the things, that was like she went right to,
right,
was rabbit.
Right. And that's because she subconsciously knows it. But again, she doesn't remember. So that's what I think was going to happen. Now, this brings us to the fact that we have the wonderful Paul Adelstein listed in 5 episodes of this show. We have not seen him yet. He has not popped up, and he has no character name.
Who is he going to be?
He could be really interesting in a number of different ways. He's got the right look. He's got the right look to play the son if the rabbit is changed back. So that could be fun. Or they're going through kind of a dream realm. He could be Nightmare.
You don't think So I know very little about this. I've seen some Spider-Man cartoon episodes that Nightmare was in, I do believe. Mm-hmm. And Doctor Strange was there to help combat that. So he would take more of a human form.
Right.
But a character like a Mephisto could. But he doesn't have to. So he wouldn't. There's more likelihood that it could be Nightmare.
More likelihood. But we also have Jennifer Kale in here. Jennifer Kale has a history with certain mystic characters, one of which is Belasco. That's kind of another demonic entity. So just again, visually, he could fit that, possibly, maybe, probably not, because they've given no groundwork for this character at all. And his interaction with certain characters is very minimal. It would be such a deep cut that I just don't see them doing that. The fact that anybody even knows who this character is you get most comic book fans, you say Belasco, they will have no idea who you're talking about. So
Marvel's done that a few times as throwaway characters in a certain sense.
Right. They could go all the way. He could be Mephisto. I think he would be a really interesting Mephisto, because that character, you could have so much fun, and they have verified that he exists in the Marvel Universe now. And it was Jennifer Kale that mentioned it. So
referenced for sure in one of the episodes.
Right. So we have so many choices, and all of them are really interesting. I mean, and they could pull a Boner on us, and he's just some guy.
Some guy.
So who knows?
But we also, you also had a speculation on the Rio Vidal character.
Right. Now, Rio Vidal is, to me, very clearly, you know, they're trying to do this like, well, there's something hidden, and they've hinted at a couple of different things. So one of the rumors going around is that it's Lady Death. No, I don't think so. Lady Death is an extremely powerful and important cosmic level character that generally does not interact with witches directly. And it's just, I think that's a stretch.
Beneath her?
Yeah,
think?
Pretty much. I mean, possible, maybe, but I put it less than 5% that this is a Lady Death character. But you never know. Maybe it's a direct pull from that story that I haven't read. I'm just completely wrong. But again, she could be Nightmare. She could be Mephisto. Either one of those would work. The only thing that kind of goes against it being those is those characters, again, super powerful. They would not go fisticuffs with Harkness. They wouldn't need to. So it seems unlikely. However, I think they're going Lilith.
Lilith Fair? Like she's going to have a concert?
Kind of. Lilith is a major villain of the Midnight Suns through the 90s. Another demonic force. This one is female. And kind of fits. If you've ever read the Lilith character speak, it's like, oh, that actually would be very Aubrey Plaza to fit that kind of personality and cadence. Because she's, I don't want to say dominatrix, but domineering for sure. And just kind of that overtly sexual, but not in the way you want it to be sort of a thing. And again, powerful, but not overly powerful. Sometimes overly powerful, but not always. And like in the Midnight Sun, she was regaining her power. She did have to physically fight sometimes because she just didn't. She had a lot of her power tied up in other things.
So how would, at least in this realm and the comic book, because they're not always the same, how would Agatha Harkness have a history with Lilith?
Well, considering the fact that most of the mystical entities, so in comic books, when you're a mystic or you're a sorcerer or a witch, you can draw power from one of three different areas. This is kind of something they've established in the comics a long time ago. You can either draw power from yourself. That's going to be for things like astral projection, some limited energy manipulation, body control, things like that. Or you can draw energy from the cosmos. So pulling energy from just life around you and the stars and whatever it is, it has great potential, but usually takes a long time to prepare, and the effects are often not going to be, you know, what you would call combat suited. It's something different entirely. And then there's the supplication. Using an entity's name and their power, you're borrowing their power to produce something. In the original Doctor Strange film, you saw that the Ancient One did that with Dormammu. Use Dormammu's power to extend her life in order to be able to continue fighting the good fight, that sort of thing. So whenever you see the Crimson Band of Sidorak, he's borrowing the power of the entity Sidorak to be able to do that. So, I mean, it's just that sort of a thing. And Lilith is one of those entities, although depending upon when you're reading and what you're reading, a lower level entity sometimes and a higher other times.
And, you know, she does what is her specialty? And here it appears to be, you know, she's powerful, of course, relative to the what we're seeing. But she was the green witch.
Right.
So, like, that's her.
Which makes sense, because, believe it or not, demons are of the earth.
So she's a green demon.
Yeah. That's my guess. That's my guess.
Well, she even had that creepy face and said, I am the green. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, that's where I'm going with it. That's where I'm placing my bet. And I could be completely wrong. This could be an actual character that I'm just unaware of. Because, like I said, I've read a lot of comics, but I haven't read them all. I'm trying so hard to read them all, but I'm not never going to get there.
But I do think that if this is a gateway to something you had mentioned before, the Midnight Suns or the Darkhold Redeemers or that pathway, because Blade's out there somewhere and Blade needs an introduction.
Right.
This is the way to get that or get Ghost Rider on screen as well.
Right.
So it wouldn't surprise me if this was the quote excuse or pathway to do that. But I guess we'll have to see.
We'll find out. Yeah. And of course we're going to come back once the show is finished and give our reaction to the show as a whole. And I have a funny feeling that I don't see how they could not end well. I mean, this is just doing, of course, cursing myself in the process. It's doing so well up until this point. I don't see how it couldn't finish well. But we'll see if they can continue the trend. We'll be coming back to talk about the end of this in the beginning of December is what it is, at least tentatively. I might be shifting some stuff around. We got some irons in the fire for some interviews and such and things like that. So... great so far. Looking forward to more. It's actually Wednesday today, so about time for another episode.
What time do they pop up on Wednesdays? On Disney Plus.
They pop up at that one time where it happens, and I don't know.
It's probably already there.
It's almost certainly already there.
It's usually like 3 a.m.
Right. But we haven't missed an episode yet, and I'm definitely not going to start now.